No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.
New job? Growing family? Need a change of scenery? When life gives you a reason to move, start with Opendoor. Request a cash offer in minutes. No prep work or showings needed. Or list with us and test the market with the cash offer to fall back on. You choose. Sell your way at Opendoor.com. That's Opendoor.com. Terms and conditions apply. Opendoor Brokerage, LLC, and Opendoor Brokerage in California, DRE, 020-61130.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk about tolls again. You would have heard it in the news headlines there. Plenty of coverage on the station today. Andrew Lowth, our reporter, obtaining figures through a Freedom of Information request. He was talking to Pat Kenny about it earlier, and the amount of money raised by tolls over the last number of years, an 11.5% increase year on year last year, €212 million on the M50 alone. The port tunnel revenues, €32 million in 2024, up about €3 million on the previous year. So an awful lot of money is the long and the short of it being made on the roads. But where does it all go? Sean O'Neill is Director of Communications with Transport Infrastructure Ireland. Sean, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Matt.
The answer to that question, where does it all go, does that depend on what road we're talking about?
Well, it does. I mean, for the M50, look, we have just for take a step back. You know, this whole program of tolling around the country, it began back in 1999. The government had an initiative to use public-private partnerships to build motorways, to help with building motorways around the country. And it raised $1.75 billion to do that. So in sort of when you take that look and you realize there are sections of motorway that we all use today that would not have been built if it wasn't for that private sector investment. Now, in returns, they get their money back through tolling. So that's where that goes for about 8 of those tolls. We have 10 tolls around the country, tolling operations. 2 of them the state owns and operates, and that would be the M50. And then the Dublin Tunnel itself. And that's exactly what you're talking about. The M50 is the largest revenue-grossing tolling operation in the state. It's owned and operated by the state, and it's the same with the Dublin Tunnel. And all that money goes back to us, and we use it for maintenance and operations. When I say us, I mean the state, but we use it for maintenance and operations and maintaining additional road networks throughout the country.
And where private equity was advanced in order to build these roads, so you've got the PPPs, the public-private partnerships. Are those deals that exist in perpetuity, Sean? Or is there an end point?
There is an end point. Basically what they are, they're a financial model, which is like a mortgage. These companies went out there and borrowed money so that they could build the road sections that we didn't have the money for, the state didn't have the money for. And that allowed the state then to get the private sector to invest in that infrastructure development. The state does own it. It's owned by the state. But it's like a lease arrangement that the state will get it back after 35 years or 30 years, and in some cases, 40 years. It depends on what the contractual arrangement was with the individual project. And that's how it works. But in return, they get the tolling, revenue for themselves to pay back their own debt. And then the state benefits substantially from like a simple thing that people need to know. The maintenance and operations of all of those roads that you're paying tolls on are being paid for, that maintenance and operation is being paid for by those private companies, not by the state. So that money would go elsewhere if the state had to pay for it. So, you know, there are wins here, and I think there's a misnomer out there that somehow these people are making all sorts of crazy amounts of money when they're actually doing fine for what they need to do for themselves and paying back their debt, but the state is benefiting from having infrastructure we otherwise wouldn't have. And additionally, we're not having to pay for the maintenance and operations that these private companies have to maintain for us.
Where the state is making money, the M50 being the obvious example, the greatest revenue generator by way of toll in the country. Is that money ring-fenced, or does it just go into the pot?
Well, it goes into the general revenue base for the state, and okay, the state allocates accordingly. But we do have access to through the Department of Transport. But it's again, it's the fact that the state owns and operates that as a major asset, which I know a lot of people were wondering why the state bought it out. And it was a brilliant move because it's worth billions and billions of euros to the Irish taxpayers in economic activity and managing it on behalf of the state. So it's a very important piece of infrastructure, as you know.
How much money does the state need to spend to maintain the road network in this country every year to stand still?
To stand still, ideally, you're looking probably about 3% of the overall asset. 2% of the overall asset value. And the asset value in some of the older numbers is about 32 billion. It's probably a bit more than that now. But you're looking at about 600 million just to keep the house painted, the windows clean, everything secure. And that's what you need to do to keep our road network ticking over.
People are wondering, people are getting in with questions. Well, some people are just getting in with criticisms. We love to hate tolls. They're one of those things that unite a lot of people. I'm somebody who uses the roads a lot. And my own view is, I mean, get rid of them if you want, but you're going to have to pay for that some other way.
Yeah,
so
the
money's going to come from general taxation or spending cuts elsewhere. But people have questions about the M9, for example. Why is that not tolled compared to other roads? And a similar question, but it's kind of the same thing. How come there's a toll on the Waterford bypass and the new Ross bypass isn't tolled?
Well, again, it happens in which the state, whatever stage the state is at, and where we have resources that we can allocate to invest in road infrastructure, the state makes a decision, you know, and they decide, okay, whether we're going to do a PPP option here, a PPP tolling option, or fund it directly from the state coffers. So there's different choices that are made at different times, depending on what the development options are at that time. And you've got to remember that the state was going through economic cycles. You know, the Celtic Tiger, we always say, oh, geez, at least we got the motorways out of the Celtic Tiger. That's correct. And it helped get us out of that economic crash that followed a lot quicker because we were able to get goods and services, employment categories were improved, people were able to get greater choices of jobs in different areas because they could safely go from A to B much better than they could previous to the development of the road network. So the economic imperative here is that it has been massive for the country of Ireland. And I know people who want, you know, nobody wants to pay tolls, but that is absolutely an investment well worth it. And the residual benefit for us as road users and from a safety perspective and an economy is absolutely, it's huge, absolutely huge.
Is there any evidence, Sean, in terms of traffic flows and the information you gather that there's a lot of people who still use the old road network, if we'll call it that, and avoid the tolls? They're driving on what was the old N3 instead of the M3.
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, people vote and travel with their wallets in many concerns on this issue. The M3, for example, you know, there's a revenue share option there for the state. We're actually getting money there. So people are using that toll, and we're obviously the state, it's reached its threshold, and the state is getting some money returned on that. So people are voting with their wallets in regards to travel, and they're basically deciding to stay on the motorway network. You just spoke about the M50 and the growth in that. And, you know, it's about the efficiency and the sort of consistency in journey times that people are getting in return that they choose to travel on the existing motorway network. Yes, the old network is there, which is very, very unique across Europe, that you do have an alternative, almost an adjacent alternative in some cases. So anyone who decides they do not want to use a toll road, they don't have to. In some parts of Europe, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
So,
but how significant are the numbers of people making that choice? I ask because we're going to be talking about this later in the show, and one of the people we speak to thinks we have this all the wrong way around, and we need to incentivize people onto these roads instead of punish them for being on them. And I just wonder to what extent there's any evidence that people are changing their behavior by being punished.
I would say that the evidence is in the information the FOI got. The number of the amount of money that these toll operations are getting proves that people are using the motorway network.
Sean O'Neill, Director of Communications with Transport Infrastructure Ireland. Sean, listen, thanks a million. We're going to come back to this a little bit later. I've no issue per se for tolls if you have a pay-as-you-use model, like most of the world, says one listener. However, the M50 toll is punitive, as it's only for a short section. I could travel from the M11 interchange to Lucan and pay nothing. However, if I go from Castleknock to Lucan, I have to pay. Eugene Drennan is with me, is a spokesperson for the Irish Road Haulage Association, and Jason Cullen is chair of the Dublin Commuter Coalition. Jason, have you a view on whether we've got the tolling system right in this country?
Yeah, it, so particularly with the port tunnel, the East Link and the M50 toll, they kind of create a divide along the city centre, pretty much along the Liffey, which effectively forces people to make a decision if they want to pay to go through the toll and effectively avoid the place where we don't want them in the first place. So it kind of propagates extra congestion within the city for people who maybe can't afford the toll or don't want to pay the toll in the first place. So it's kind of a backwards way of doing the system. It'd be far better to maybe not charge people to avoid the city, but, you know, have them pay a fee to go through the city centre, which is where we're trying to reduce the congestion.
You know, the fear some people will have is listening to that is they think, oh God, maybe policymakers will agree with Jason and their solution would be a much more expensive congestion charge in the city. So we'll charge everybody no matter where they want to go and we'll just charge them more in town than on the M50.
Yeah, potentially. But this is a kind of a leftover from, you know, previous pre-Celtic Tiger era where we couldn't afford to build roads. We can now. We have, you know, endless coffers stiff to the brims from Apple money and everything else and corporate tax rates. So we're not in a situation where we need to be taking on private businesses to build our roads. And in many cases, or in some cases, we actually own these roads at this stage and we've effectively paid for them. So the state could take on, or particularly Dublin City Council can take on the upkeep of these roads. And particularly on the over at the East Link, where they're about to build four new bridges to go alongside it. So, you know, this is a case where we have to make a decision on, do we want to push the congestion out of the city or do we want to push it in? And the tolls push it into the city. And equally, if you decide to avoid these tolls, you effectively have to drive across a Lewis track, which has an impact on public transport as well. It can slow them down, and more congestion in the city affects the buses not getting through quickly. So it has a whilst you're paying a small fee now that you know about, it'd probably make the city work a lot faster and a lot more efficiently if we didn't have them there.
Most people, I believe, wouldn't mind paying so much in road tolls if the money wasn't wasted, says one listener. I live in Cavan. I work in Dublin. I use the old road in the morning and the M3 in the evenings. It's a bit stiff paying two tolls to end up stuck in traffic in Virginia. And Kieran, the East Link is €2.30, the Port Tunnel 13. Poor public transport alternatives for me. It's why people drive through the city centre, which is the point that Jason makes. But Eugene Drennan, I say, is with us as well from the Irish Roadologist Association. Eugene, I mean, how would you describe the system of tolling that we have on our roads at the moment and whether it suits your members?
Outrageous. Just listen to yourself. Look at the figures. 2.1 billion of a turnover since they introduced the N50 to the amount of money they pay for originally. They didn't honour their commitment to the public in continuing the toll. The toll went on until such time as the infrastructure was paid. It's long been paid for. It's time to return it to the people. You know, as much as you'd wonder about Donald Trump, at least he's going to cut the inefficiencies in his government. This pales into significance with the amount of money for the famous bicycle shed or the IT system for the Arts Council. 2.1 billion collected for a 600 million investment, and they won't return it to the public.
That money does go to the public in the sense it goes into the exchequer, you know. Didn't have it, then well, we'd all be paying for it through taxes.
Yes, but it's tax on tax on tax. Traditionally, an agreement with the general psyche of the public of Ireland: excise, the fuel you fill in your tank, pay for the roads. We pay nearly €1 per litre in excise and different taxations. We have tax on tax on tax. It can't continue without any advantage to the motorist. They've clogged up Dublin with traffic lights. We have a situation now where we in the commercial end have to pay a fee to go into Dublin, but we can't go down by the customs house during the day. So then we have to come back out to go over the M50 to pay another fee on the M50. We in the commercial world don't have to pay for the tunnel, but the car will have to pay for going through the tunnel. Your last contributor is a resident of Dublin. It's the capital city of Ireland. Those of us who have to come and do business or deliver or be part of the supply chain are not there because we want to. It's because we've business to do to keep Dublin going and keep the supply chain to Ireland going.
Yeah.
So having tax on tax on tax is very unfair. And the numbers are huge.
I know, but again, Eugene, if you got rid of one of those tax streams, you'd just have to increase one of the others, wouldn't you? So there's 211 million quid was made, say, last year from eFlow And all that money went into the exchequer. Now, if you were saying that's unfair, it's a tax and tax and tax, we're paying road tax, we're paying excise on our petrol and diesel and what have you, and we're paying the road toll, that's fine. But if you get rid of that, if the state loses that 211 million, it needs to make up the shortfall somewhere.
No, it doesn't. Where is the project? You know, the Shell.
But what? If you look at the government, look at the government's budget, then tell me where you would cut 211 million. If you're saying they can get rid of it and they don't need to make up the shortfall.
I would let the city traffic go a little freer and people get to their wherever they need to go a little easier within the city, because they do need to get there. And the infrastructure that is paid for should be returned to the people for free.
No, I know, but that's a different point. No, answer this question. Eugene, in fairness now, answer the question. Well, yes. 200, you think you want the state to be down 211 million euro next year if they got rid of those tolls. So where are you cutting 211 million euro from the state's budget?
I want a fairness to the customer and to the agreement with the state that if they happen to put on a toll at any particular time to the construction, that when it is paid for, it should return to free. If they have a new project and you're paying for something that is definitely going to be built and there is an agreement with the public or through the government, they say, okay, for this period of 15 years or 20 years for building.
That is a completely legitimate. You're making a completely legitimate point. That's fine to suggest that once it's paid for, it just goes back into absolute public ownership and there's no toll. But the state loses money with that model. And so they then either have to spend less money or they have to get money from somewhere else. And you're not offering any suggestion as to where else we get the money or what spending we cut.
The coffers are well full. So somebody whom we are on the supply chain, someone in Leitrim or in Kerry, is paying for the Dublin M50. They'll never see it, they'll never be near it, because the supply chain is charged to that level and we're trying to get down the road. That is totally unfair. That is wrong and it's imbalanced. And it's tax.
But Eugene, your suggestion is that people living in Glencolumbkill would be paying for the toll on the road outside Waterford. Because if you got rid of all those tolls and the state had to make up the money elsewhere, they're going to do it through general taxation.
They have enough in their coffers. They have the money. Why charge more? The coffers are, just as your last contributor said, the coffers are full. The flow of money in is outstanding, and yet charge more. It's a tax on tax on tax. And taxing the supply chain, of course the person that never sees that road is paying for it, because they're paying for it on the goods off their shelf.
Yeah, I know, but the state doesn't always run at a profit. I mean, you and I remember, everybody remembers, it's not that long ago, Eugene, we were running at a loss. It was a budget deficit every year. I mean, surely it's worth continuing to set money aside.
And the one thing the Mr. O'Neill of the TI said, it's a kind of a loose arrangement. Some quote that, a loose arrangement that we get a premium for building the road for a long period of time, make huge profit on it, and then it might revert to the state. It's some loose arrangement, isn't it? And if there were new projects coming on, or if we could see a quantum of advancement that we're not jammed in traffic, reasonable enough, then you pay for getting freedom, you're quick lane. But it's not fair to charge the supply chain to this excess and have taxation and taxation and taxation and taxation. Totally wrong.
All right. Well, listen, I said it earlier, tolls, people love to hate them. So most people getting in touch in agreement with Eugene, get rid of him. Jason, before I let you go, just kind of more broadly, when you look at the policy plans for Dublin City in terms of freeing up space for public transport, for the Lewis, for the bus, the new Bus Connect system, for cyclists, for pedestrians. How encouraged or not are you by kind of the new makeup of government? I mean, a lot of people might have said it was the Green Party in the previous iteration of government that would have drove a lot of these changes.
Look, it's certainly a concern for us, particularly reading the programme for government. There is not a huge amount of commitments in terms of funding for public and active transport, whereas when you read down the programme for government, everything that involves a road certainly has, we commit to funding X, Y and Z. Particularly within Dublin City Centre, look, the transport plan that's been implemented so far has been hugely successful on the quays. Car traffic has been reduced by 85%. Buses are moving about 4 to 8 minutes quicker on average, or an increase of about 30% in frequency, which has been absolutely game changer. And generally, with the introduction of new Bus Connect routes, you're seeing about a 20 to 30% increase on the routes prior. So it has been successful. The frustrating part is that we're simply not moving fast enough. You know, we have the climate targets due in 5 years, and even if the government were to meet their current targets, they simply won't actually meet the changes that we have to make. So we're on the hook for probably €20 billion worth of fines. So we have to move fast, and it's on this government's watch is when it has to be done. So they need to really own it and implement it quickly.
Jason Cullen, chair of the Dublin Commuter Coalition; Eugene Drennan, spokesperson for the Irish Road Haulage Association. Thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, "This is what I'm meant to do." Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.